Hey everybody, Donnie Bovine here. Thank you so much for listening to the episodes. Do me a favor, if you get any value out of these, would you leave me a review? It would mean the world to me. I'm on a massive mission to help as many people as I possibly can get to freedom through building a business. I gotta be honest, building a business is by far the toughest thing I've ever done in my life, and I promise you, my business has worked on me more than I've ever worked on it. I don't think there's a better tool in the world to meet the dude in the mirror than building your own company. You're going to find out what the hell you're made of. In these episodes, I bring on the people that have been through it, gone through it, done it, built monstrous companies, and I get them to coach me on how to actually level up, grow, and scale my business. They're hitting me with some hard questions. They're bringing some amazing advice. And man, I'm telling you, I take notes from every one of these episodes from these people that have actually lived it. They've gone through it and have turned their businesses into amazing empires. So I hope you find a ton of value in this. And I hope that this becomes something you come back to and listen to often.
How to bring on the right team, hire the right employees, and build out your starting lineup. Hey, I'm Donnie Bovine, the CEO and founder of Success Champions Networking and author of Endless Stream of Referrals. This is Growth Mode, a podcast all centered around scaling and growing your business through sales and business development. Hanging out with me as always, my buddy Kevin Snow, the sales and automation tactician and genius. Hang out with us today as we talk about how to build your starting lineup. So I got a cool story, Kevin, to start this one off.
Cool.
Back when I was doing sales training, one of my clients was a commercial label company, and a personal friend of mine. And let me put a caveat to it. When I first met John, probably almost 10 years ago now, maybe a little bit longer, he was a client. I didn't know him. And I met him at an open house they had at their company. And then he became a client and a lifelong family friend now. But John was training a elite sales team. I mean, he had a group of just gunslingers that could flat out sell millions and millions of dollars. And one of the training sessions I was doing, he had a couple of his vendors there. And the vendor asked John Seitz, particularly, he said, "How did you put together such a strong, team and build out such an elite group and high caliber sales individual?" And he said, without skipping a beat, that "I'm always training for my championship team." He goes, "For me, it's kind of like going to the World Series. You don't put a team together to win games. You put a team together to win the World Series." And it's this old total idea of your starting lineup have got to be the team that can take you all the way to the World Series. So it was a cool thought process for me, because it even made me look at the team that we had at that point and question, did I have the right starting lineup that could take me to the World Series? And as I've been working on Success Champions and learning and growing and building all this out, it's a cool question to keep asking is, do we have the starting lineup that can take us to win championships? And I think we're really damn close to getting there. I mean, we definitely got two of the pieces of the puzzle as we continue to add and bring more in. So freaking awesome thought process. But Kevin, let's dive into how do you build out your starting lineup? How do you want to go? Where do you want to take it?
Well, I think it's really interesting because we have this conversation with our members and then the members of the Champions Table masterminds all the time about who do you hire first and who do you add to your team. And it always comes up that, I'm going to go hire salespeople. So,
yep.
And I'm relatively sure that you and I are in agreement that that is not the right move.
Yeah, never.
But that seems that's what a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs think. So, if I'm ready to grow, I need to hire salespeople.
Well, let me correct my never statement. It's never your first hire. It's not that you should never hire salespeople. It's just never your first hire. Okay, I just wanted to cover my ass. I could see the messages I think getting out. Donnie said never hire salespeople. No, that's not what I said, damn it. Oh, but, you know, you're spot on. You know, that first hire you need to meet or bring on to your company is not your doppelganger. Because if it's not the salesperson, people always say things like, I need to bring on someone who's just like me. And that's absolutely false. I can't imagine having two of me in the company right now.
Neither can
this company wouldn't fuck. Yeah.
Nope.
This company wouldn't function, dude. We would be like playing some weird combination of racquetball and dodgeball all at the same time, you know, trying to have me build out a company with with another one of me.
While drinking
all rum. These ideas. Yeah, right.
And this doesn't sound bad. I like dodgeball, and I'm just thinking the idea of adding rackets into it could be kind of fun.
I think somebody's dying after a few glasses of rum. Hey, catch this bitch. But, you know, it would literally, if I had somebody else that was like me, ideas, shiny objects, running and gunning 100 miles an hour, we would constantly just be throwing ideas back and forth. And I've had this in my past where you had two idea people working together and it just doesn't work. You need, so if you're the idea person, visionary type person that I tend to be, you need that freaking, I love this phrase, you need the executioner, right? The one that chops the heads off of people. No, I mean the one that actually executes all the ideas and puts things in place. You know, you don't need your doppelganger. You need your arch nemesis. And I'm just going to call Kevin a whole bunch of fucking names. He's an executioner. He's my arch nemesis. You know, and what I mean by that is you actually need the person that has strengths in the things you suck at. You know, for me, like organizations, process, systems, you know, Star Wars, you know, all these things that I suck at, you got to find the person that can handle and do all these things. Like, and by bringing that type of person in as your first move, you're going to realize that they can free up time for you to go do and figure out the things you really need to figure out and do.
Yeah, it has to be that person that does the things that you're weak at, or the person who can do the things that aren't a high value use of your time. So,
right.
You know, those things that have to be done, but they're not worth the $150 an hour. That a business owner's time is worth.
Well, let's clear up one thing, man. I'm not weak at anything. I might suck at a couple things, but I'm not weak at anything.
For those of you that aren't watching the YouTube video of this episode, my eyes
literally
have
Kevin
rolled,
almost snapped his neck by rolling his eyes.
My eyes have rolled into the back of my head. I'm like, oh my god. So 1 week we're gonna bring dad and your mom, your brother on, and we're gonna ask them that question: is Donnie weak at anything?
Yeah. But no, you were saying the $150 an hour.
Yeah, you got to bring the people in. They're either going to do the things that you suck at and you can't do well, or you got to bring the person who's going to do the things that are taking up your time, preventing you from going out and doing the business development. Because you can't hire salespeople until you're crushing the sales yourself and you've stressed your operations team out. And you're now having to focus on how do I build operations and to support the influx of business you have coming. Then you can hire salespeople. But you have to be filling up your operations team to the point where they're like, oh my God, we need people. We need this. We need a better process, where you're now forced to focus your time on how you scale as opposed to how you sell. And that's really when I think it's okay to say, all right, we need a sales team. How do I bring that sales team in so we keep the revenue coming and I can focus on keeping the operations, supporting the influx of customers?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's fun when people start thinking about it. And I remember the first time somebody introduced me to the concept of it. I was actually working for somebody else, and I heard, you know, a business coach tell somebody, you know, that they don't need to hire the bookkeeper, the accountant, or anything else just yet. I mean, they need them, but they really needed the office manager to come and, you know, clean up the stuff. And that's the first time I really thought about that. When you're building things out, you've got to, you know, find that person. Because I mean, to help you guys understand this from a different perspective, is Kevin allows me to go out and have all these Zoom conversations so we can meet new presidents to start new chapters for us for Success Champions Networking, because he's handling all the automations, the operational stuff, the strategy behind the scenes, you know, but he's also jumping up here on the mic with me. He shares the stage with me. You know, we do a lot of things, you know, simultaneously. But his ability to take my ideas, thoughts, and concepts and turn them into a tangible process is freaking priceless, you know, and vice versa, because he'll constantly throw ideas at me and, you know, like, hey, we really need to go this direction. And it's because he thinks more strategically, where I think more, you know, visionarily. You know, I know where I want to go. He'll figure out how to get the, hey, I'm just making up fucking words today, okay? This is like a week of just making up damn words. You know, so you really, that first hire, that first move you got to make is your nemesis. I'm going to keep calling Kevin my nemesis just because it's fun. That can get the stuff off your plate. And it's not sales, right? So when you think, you know, if you're the operational strategic person, you don't need the nemesis. You need the visionary. You need the person that can come up with the bigger ideas, so you can do your strength. So, like, in Kevin's company, you know, if we were to flip roles, it would be, I would be more out front going and, you know, coming up with the big crazy ass ideas, so he could be more structurally engineered behind the scenes. I think I just called you a structural engineer. Wow, I'm really getting you all kinds of shit today.
Well, I think I need to clarify my, when we talk about doing the things you suck at, this isn't a reason for you as a business owner to say, well, I suck at sales, so I'm going to hire a salesperson. Because we've had that conversation too with people. It's like, well, I'm not good at the sales thing, so I need to hire a salesperson to do that for my company. No, you need to learn how to sell your damn product, because you have to know how to do that before you can have sales. And that's part of it. That's why you need people taking the other shit off your desk, so you can go out and sell and figure that out. So that when you are at the point where, oh my God, now I need salespeople, you actually can give them a process and a way to sell your product, and not just say, all right, well, you were all successful at sales in your last job, go sell my stuff and hope they're successful, which is the normal process for a small business owner.
The addition to that, the reasons that it don't work is because you don't know how to coach, mentor, hold them accountable. You know, you're, in your head, you're like, go get me money. And when they don't instantly get you money, you get pissed off. They're like, what the fuck are they doing? And the answer is they don't know what they're fucking doing, because you never gave them direction, right? You never told them, hey, here's your prospecting plan. Here's your business development plan. Here's how the sales call should flow. And people are like, well, they should know this stuff. Well, they do, for other things that they've sold. They don't know how to do it for your product and service. So there's got to be a ramp up time, a massive ramp up time, unless you already have a strategic game plan for them. That will work, right? I mean, it's a step-by-step process of going, here's how you go from zero to your first $100,000 in sales. Here's how you go from $100,000 to $1 million in sales, right?
Yep.
You know, and you have it completely mapped out for them. And if you don't have that, it's just going to be a setup for fail. So we know the first hire needs to be your arch nemesis, the opposite of what you do. What do you think's the next hire, Kevin? What's that next role or position, you know, that because I know where I'd go with it, because I think it's a key piece to support everything the salesperson's doing. You need that counterpart to the salesperson, which is always a unique conversation in itself.
Yeah. So if you hire that person who does what you're weak at and takes care of, you know, the yin to your yang type hire, I guess it kind of depends on what that is for them. For us, our next hire was we need someone who can do all the admin-y stuff and the what I call the tier one, tier 10 customer support things. Like, hey, we need, you know, in my company, it's, hey, this word is spelled wrong on the website. We need to change it. Yeah, I'm not spending 20 minutes changing the spelling on a word because I have other things to do. So you need that level support. If you bring in that other person who's going to be doing some big, helping you with big moves and doing that. And that kind of covers some of that sales support stuff too, because they can do a lot of that sales admin work. And, you know, they can be that person who's getting the incoming queries from your website. Hey, I have questions about this, and making sure they're routed to the right place.
So one way to think about that is your third hire should be the person that is in a support role of your nemesis. So they're the person that can take the things off the plate of your nemesis. So your nemesis can do what they're awesome at, right? So if I'm sales, business development, you know, out front, Kevin, operational strategy processes, he needs to have somebody that can free up his time so he can stay focused on building out future operations and helping make sure the business stays scalable through the process. So we've got to get things off of his plate so he can continue to build. And so that's, you know, an admin role, if you will, data entry, those type of things that are at the very basic beginnings of building all this out. And then I think the next role is you've got to start hiring people who can take ownership of specific roles inside the company. So I think our next big move for us is going to be a marketing person, you know, that can help with our overall marketing strategy and plan. So because that's the one move Kevin and I aren't the strongest at. We both have a dangerous working knowledge of things that we could, you know, really do. Though we can put a lot of good band-aids on things, but we're going to need that person that can see all the different things that we're doing and make it one cohesive brand inside the company. So there's a consistent message in everything throughout everything that we're doing. So if you're thinking about the hierarchy, it's, as you, as CEO, business owner of your company, your sales, right? Just simplify it. You hire your operations person next. You hire your admin person next that supports both operations and sales. You hire your marketing person next, okay? That model is a $100,000 to $250,000, you know, dollar business model, right? You can build a business to 250, maybe up to $500,000 with a four-person hardworking team if it's a service-based business. Okay. If you're running a consulting business, something along those lines. Once you get to a place where you have, you know, this kind of structure and team put down, now it's time to really think about really ramping up. And then you start thinking about, okay, cool. How do we bring in the gunslinger, right? That person that their main role is to outsell the CEO and president of the company, right? But by then you have your systems and processes and all those things in place, because the gunslinger and having a badass marketing person with a gunslinger, the operational structure and atmosphere will allow you to scale. And there's a big difference between scaling and growing. I think we're going to do an episode on scaling and growing.
Yep.
But, you know, scaling, growing is incremental growth, right? You get to the next step. Scaling is literally 10xing your company. It's going from 100,000 to 1,000,000, from 1,000,000 to 10 million in a rapid amount of time. You know, so there's a massive difference between growing and scaling. So that's the way you think about it. So that gives them that flow. Let's talk about how they find the nemesis. How do they find the admin? And then how do they add that marketing piece? So, I mean, I know if you haven't heard our story, go back and listen to past episodes, how I found Kevin. But, you know, how does somebody go about finding the person that's opposite of them, their nemesis?
That's I think it's going to be different for everyone because everyone connects to people in different ways. You know, we happen to find each other because I use Facebook groups a ton to reach out to people, and we connected through that. And it was just happened that it worked out that we became, you know, fast friends and partners, business partners. We could throw that out there. Business partners.
Thank you for clarifying.
But for other people, it's going to be a little bit of trial and error. And you have to be out meeting people that are in that arena. So if you're looking for that admin person who can take things off of your plate, and we've done this, you know, we went out and we've gone through multiple VAs to find the right one for different types of roles within the company. And it's the same way, and this is painful to go through because it takes more time and you're constantly doing that training thing, but you have to be testing people out and, you know, bringing people in to do small things and then see, yep, they fit, they don't fit. I didn't like this. I love this. And part of that is to find the right fit for you, but it also helps you figure out what you actually want them to do. Because what you have in your head at the beginning, it's like, I want this person who can do these things, may not actually be the right stuff. And as you start bringing them in, you're going to find out really what you need them to do. And you can really refine the expectations and the responsibilities. So when you do find that person, you can say, all right, here's the actual stuff that I want you to do.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think it plays right into, you know, our story. I was looking for a very specific thing I needed done. And I think if you hire for a task, a single solitary thing, because I think people too often try to hire the person that can do everything for them. And I think that's a surefire way to get yourself in trouble. But by hiring for a task, the right people will continue to step up because, you know, Kevin just kept saying, hey, I can do that for you. I can do that for you, you know, and continue to take things off my plate. I think he regrets some of that now, but, you know, but the truth of the matter is by hiring for a specific task, it gives them a chance to evolve. It also gives you a chance to see their work ethic, how, you know, can they keep up with you? Are they as hungry for life as you are? Or are they only looking for that task? I mean, we have some people in our world that, you know, we've hired for one task and that's their evolution, right? That's what they're going to always be able to do for us, which is totally cool and love that we have those people in our world. But, you know, that second hire, you really need that person that can continue to step up and take those things off your plate. And if you hired, you know, for whatever specific task you needed done. Maybe it's your Facebook needs to be managed. And don't ever hire the social media generalist. Hire somebody that's a specialist in, you know, whatever social media you need help with. You know, Facebook, Instagram, hire specifically for those platforms. You know, I gotta quit saying, you know, I just said it like 14 times in a row.
At least you're not doing the California like, you know.
Like. Right. Right.
And we're going to get emails now from California.
All the damn Valley people. But if you give a person enough rope, people always say that they'll hang themselves. And for me, is if you give them enough rope, some people will actually grab that damn thing and climb to the frickin' top and wonder where the next rope is.
The other benefit of doing that, you know, hiring for that specific task, getting them doing that and seeing if they can do more is that if it doesn't work out, you haven't just destroyed your entire operation. You haven't gone from, all right, I have all of this stuff taken care of to like, oh crap, now I got to do it all again. If you have to replace that, you know, in this case, virtual assistant that's doing the one specific thing, it's not as painful. And it's easier to replace and integrate that person in and start over as opposed to, oh, now I got to train the entire process. You know, the VA we have doing stuff for us that's taking things off my plate, I'm about ready to drop a bunch more stuff on her. It's like, all right, here's some new things you're going to be doing in January that just because, you know, she's got the stuff we gave her figured out. She's doing it well. And now we're going to up the game and give her a bunch more things to manage. so that I don't do them and then they actually get done on time. So it's, you know, it's that's the really the big benefit of doing it in piecemeal. You know, it's also less expensive.
Yeah.
If you go out and try and find that person who can do all this stuff on your huge laundry list of things you want to get rid of, it's going to be a big shock to your cash flow. And sometimes you need to do that because it's going to drive you to say, okay, well, now I'm supporting two families. I need to sell more. but it also, you know, it's a little bit easier to say, all right, so I'm going to do the, you know, like I hired a VA to do podcast placement for me. All right, well, $25 a week. I can do that. So for the time she does reach outs, that's not a huge thing. It gets you used to now adding in different types of expenses into your budget that you may not have done before. And you're uncomfortable with that whole idea of like, oh my God, I have to have an employee.
Yeah, no, you're spot on because I made a lot of bad hires early on. Because I didn't know exactly what I needed. I knew I needed help, but some of my original hires were all VAs, but part of it was I couldn't necessarily afford it. But the other part of it was I didn't know what I really needed them to do. And, you know, that's a tough spot to be. And if you can reel in your mindset to hire for task, it makes those things really, really, you know, great. I've never hired a bad person in my life. I've made some really bad hiring decisions, you know, and I take complete ownership of that process, you know. So what's the action step for this week?
Kevin? Well, before we get to the action step, we actually have a member question. So every week we do a question from a member about the topic that we are talking about. This week our question comes from Sean Murphy, the host of the Above the Bar podcast and member of Empire Elites chapter in upstate New York. And he asks, when do you decide if a team is needed or not? I think it's to the point where if you as a business owner are spending all your evenings doing your admin and actually doing the stuff you're selling, you need a team. You need to start finding that second person who is going to do stuff for you.
Yeah. Another way to look at it is if you are doing operational things that keep you from selling, then it's time to hire. You know, because you need to be out there. If your business is doing less than $100,000, it is a lot of work to get a business to $100,000 business. So if you're doing less than $100,000, you've got to get somebody in there to free up your time. So if you hear yourself saying there's not enough hours in the day to get things done, it means you're probably doing too much client work. Or, you know, too many operational things during the day, it's a good time to start looking at your business. And, you know, if you're a solopreneur growing and scaling, dude, 1099s is 100% the way to go. You know, get people in part-time doing small projects for you that's not going to cost you an absolute fortune. You know, so a lot of hiring is going to come down to how much time it's taken you to accomplish all the things you need to accomplish. Great question, though. And if you haven't listened to the Above Bar podcast, both Kevin and I have been on there, and we're going to do a dual episode, I'm been told, together, so that should be fun. Three veterans sitting around drinking and talking shit, so it should be a good time.
That should be interesting.
All right, now what's the action step?
All right, so this nope, that's cool. That this week's action item. All right, so there's homework. This is the perfect time to do this. We're at the right around if you're listening to this live when it came out, we're right around the holidays, beginning of the year. So this is the time you need to sit down and actually look at all the stuff you're doing. Make a giant fucking list of everything you're doing throughout the week for your business, down to the most minuscule task. If you have an office and one of your tasks that you do is you take out the water bottle and put the new one in, that needs to be on the list. So you need to figure out what all those things are doing, then start prioritizing them. Break them out by the ones that generate revenue, ones that keep clients happy, and then things that keep the business running. and then figure out where your strength is in those. If you are, if your strengths and your strengths better be in the sales and keeping clients happy arena, find that person who's going to do all the other stuff. If your strengths are in the operational and sales, find that person who's going to do all the customer tier one customer support tasks. But make that list, figure it out, prioritize on what's going to make you money and what's not, and then start finding people and start looking for people who can start taking over the stuff that does not make you money.
Freaking love it. Great action step. So guys, we're going to do that every episode. We're going to field a question from the members of Success Champions Networking. We're going to give you homework, you know, because, you know, Kevin and I can talk all day, but if there isn't an action strategy to go along with, it doesn't bring in you guys enough value. So go implement it. Shoot us an email over at,
Member success at successchampionnetworking.com.
And feel free to shoot us some questions, some thoughts, some anything, or, you know, if there's any specific questions or if you need us to deep dive further into a particular topic. But as always, guys, if you got any tips, tricks of value out of this whatsoever, please make sure you're subscribed. If you're on YouTube, ring the bell. If you're listening to podcasts, subscribe to wherever you're listening to podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed there. And please tell one person about the show. That one person, you tell them about the show, they come and listen. It's like walking up and giving us a virtual hug. So we appreciate it. Love you, mean it. See you, bye. When I created Success Champions, it was on the idea that most people make themselves an island as they're growing their business. Yet they just don't want people to know how bad things are, because if anybody knew how bad things are, nobody would do business with you. So, like me, they don't often reach out for advice, they don't get support. They just try and put their head down and grind through it. And let's be honest, man, that lifestyle sucks. And when you're constantly trying to find yourself to push through it and figure it out on your own, it often leads to misery. We created Success Champions so you don't make yourself an island, so you don't build your business alone. There are a ton of people that are going through it on the same journey that are looking for the same advice you are. Maybe they've been through it and are looking to help. So come hang out with Success Champions. Go to successchampionnetworking.com. Go visit one of our peer groups and let's help you actually get to business freedom. Don't build your business alone. Come hang with us as Success Champions.